Okay, so hi, I'm Helen Terry, and today's call is going to be about the core of the body, specifically the three body weights of pelvis, chest, and the head. Everybody, I think you are now muted, so it should be okay just to leave your phones as they are. So in Nia, we have the three body weights of the head, the chest, and the pelvis, and this forms the core of the body. When functioning properly, they have the capacity to awaken us to joy and health and distribute chi throughout our body. But when misaligned, they can really throw us off center. When we're aligned, we can ground our energy along our vertical axis and generate energy, improve intrinsic balance, develop core power, improve spinal flexibility, and also increase your abdominal support and experience much greater relaxation through having an aligned core. But alignment and also the absence of it also affects our meridians, our chakras, our bones, our organs, our ligaments, muscles, veins, and arteries. Ideally, the three body weights should stack one on top of each other. And the good news is that we can actually realign these weights through movement. And one of the things that I love about Nia is that by, in class, paying attention to the way we move and hold these three body weights, we can consciously realign our body. Improved postural alignment enhances our breath. It improves our self-confidence and heightens our self-esteem and improves our overall mental, physical, and emotional health. When the three weights are integrated into our walk and our dance, we can feel the vitality of being alive and energetically present. And one book I do recommend as we're talking through on these, I love the Ida Rolf book, and it's a great one to get more of an understanding of your own posture, even by just looking at the pictures. Sometimes the text can be a little technical, but start off with the pictures, understanding your own posture, and then from that inspiration, I'd recommend reading about the pelvis, the chest, and the head. So I'm going to start off talking with the base weight, the pelvis. It's the foundation of our three body weights, and it's said to be the seat of our soul. It's literally where our torso and our head, it's what our torso and our head actually sit in. When the pelvis becomes tight and constricted, the seat is really like an uncomfortable chair. And when the pelvis is free and fluid, our seat can feel like a royally comfortable chair. The pelvis is a bony basin that contains the abdomen. We see it as a container. It's a reservoir for our physical, mental, and emotional, even spirit energy. The pelvis houses the sexual organs, and any chronic tilting of the pelvis locks it in a posture that renders it incapable of properly containing. So basically I'm saying is our pelvis is designed to be a container. And if we have it in that true alignment, it works wonderfully at doing its job, containing what it's meant to contain, but allowing us to also be moving freely. But when the pelvis tilts too far forward, the abdominal muscles and the viscera, your internal organs and especially your intestines, they spill forwards. And in this case, the lumbar spine is hyperextended. The anus is reaching behind you rather than towards earth. So that's more of a posture, kind of similar to how a duck looks if we're tilting our pelvis forwards. And the opposite is if the pelvis tilts too far back and then the tailbone curls under, similar to a dog that's unhappy. And if the tail comes between the legs, it even constricts the organs against the spine and creates tightness and rigidity in the back. So obviously, if your pelvis is out of alignment, your organs will be unnecessarily stressed. So you can help have more of an understanding of your pelvis by actually standing and looking in a mirror to look at your correct alignment between the front of your pelvis. Specifically, the front of your pelvis is the pubic bone, and the back of our pelvis is the sacrum and coccyx. And if they're properly aligned, there's actually a horizontal line between that coccyx and the pubic bone. So in other words, your pelvic floor is level. And you can see that, like if you look side on to a mirror and check, even you can use your hands of feeling where your pubis bone is and where your coccyx is, the pubis at the front, the coccyx at the back. And as you look in the mirror, just check if there's a horizontal line between them. If the tail is curled under, the pubic bone will actually be higher than the coccyx and around the other way. You'll also see that if your pelvis is out of alignment, the top of your hips will actually be tilting. So when you're looking in the mirror side on, look at that coccyx at the back, pubic at the front, and play with tilting and moving your hips and see if you can establish what it feels like in your body when you have that horizontal line between the coccyx and the pubis bone. So to function properly, our pelvis needs to have the ability to move in all directions. If we move our pelvis while stabilizing our legs, basically if we, I'll start again because I'm moving as I'm trying to explain here with my pelvis. So we can move our pelvis by stabilizing our legs. It's a really good sign that we have the ability to move our pelvis in all directions. So if we're standing and it actually feels rigid to move the pelvis, that's indicating that we're probably out of alignment. I can remember when I came, my first NIA class was in my white belt, and I can remember seeing Debbie Rosas moving her hips, and I totally understood how my hips should be moving, but instead when I went to move them, my hips felt very rigid. So it's just an example of, in class, if you find that your hips are challenged to move, if your pelvis feels constricted, just a little bit at a time, just moving very small will help you with time to freely move in all directions, and that'll help you become stronger and healthier. Movement can actually help you reclaim your pelvis. The movement of the pelvis can actually unleash primal, sexual, and sensual energy, particularly for those who have denied this area. The release of this energy can be positive or negative, and depending on the emotional state of the individual, even subtle movements can trigger and uproot emotional feelings and personal issues ranging from sexual abuse, self-control, desire, safety, and survival. So emotionally, out of the three body weights, movement of the pelvis is often the one that causes the most emotional discomfort. This is due in part to social, moral, and personal attitudes associated with the pelvis. For example, we have thoughts like moving the pelvis is seductive, or moving my pelvis means I want it, moving the pelvis is wrong, it's a dirty thing. And these kind of beliefs will really affect how we move the pelvis. So there can be a lot of negativity around the pelvis area. So what we encourage is to slow down. One thing Debbie actually encouraged for me at the beginning was to drape a scarf or a skirt over my exercise tights, and it helped me create a safe environment to move within. I also enjoy just that flow of skirt and fabric and focusing on that, a little bit focusing away from the pelvis area. So that's just a couple of ideas that I hope might help you if moving your pelvis is challenging. Now let's talk a little bit about the chest. The bones of the chest include your sternum, your clavicle, your 12 ribs, and your spine. And these bones contain and protect the vital organs, including a heart. Like a Venetian blind, the bones of the ribs are separate, and they can open and close. When they open, they allow energy to move in and out. And when they close, they help release air. The bottom floating rib is an anatomical reminder that your chest is meant to be free and lightweight. So in NIA, we talk about there being a ring of air around your waist between your pelvis and your chest. And that floating lower rib is a wonderful anatomical reminder to get that sense of light and floating the ribs above the hips. Sternum should always stay bone unless we are intentionally or consciously bending and leaning. We want to allow the chest and the head to be just floating above the hips. Alignment can promote fluidity and not rigidity. And if the head and chest are stacked above the pelvis, it centers on movement and eliminates strain. Basically, if my head and chest are more forwards in front of my pelvis, there's a lot of undue strain on my lower back, and it will constrict breathing. And leaning too far back into my heels will make our abdomen and our neck work so hard that they actually feel constricted and grow weaker. So we really want to work on allowing the chest, which is also then supporting the head, to just be floating in like a little stack of the three vertical alignments. Now, breathing is essential to the healthy chest movement. As we inhale, the lungs should expand and our diaphragm should drop towards our lower belly. This means our upper belly should slightly expand on the inhale and release on the exhale. So chest movement deepens with diaphragmatic breathing. It can improve the energy flow and add flexibility to the spine, which induces lightheadedness as the chest gains freedom. Additionally, chest movement improves internal organ functioning, and it strengthens and relaxes the back while awakening emotional feelings. Moving the chest is a great way to awaken and free the heart. Now, talking about the chest movements in relationship with emotion, the center between the three weights. Our rib cage protects our heart and other vital organs, and this cage is emotionally connected with feelings of love, grief, joy, and sorrow. The chest and the rib cage move under, the chest and rib cage movement can really help unearth and release emotions in a very healthy way. Once released, our chest and our heart and our emotional being are freer. We can have greater range of motion, flexibility, and much more personal power. Sometimes deep sorrow can arise, and we may be surprised to find we expand and contract in the face of profound joy and freedom. Whatever arises for you when moving your chest, again, it's just a reminder, be gentle with yourself. Your solar plexus, located in that soft tissue just below our ribs, and it's also stimulated by chest movement. So emotionally, the solar plexus is often associated with personal power, self-confidence, and free will. Breath work, undulations, pulsating, and vibrating gestures can help unlock core energy in our solar plexus. It's the center of the will, and sometimes unlocking this power can be intoxicating. Sometimes it can be frightening. So feel free to find your own place and trust that you're right where you need to be. I think it's one of those great things when looking at the three body weights of how often less can be more. I think when I came into Nia from a fitness background, I started out just being really wanting to move big and how I saw my teacher moving. And I'm really glad that with time, moving smaller actually was my way of accelerating my ability to move through my three body weights. So now, just to finish, before we have questions, I'm going to talk a little bit about the head. With 8 cranial bones and 14 facial bones, our brain and our heads carry a lot of weight. We think, we hear, we taste, we smell, we even kiss, and we see from our heads. It's a very busy place, and it's a real test of balance and strength to support this 8 to 10-pound weight on the top of our body. The bony structure of our head houses and protects our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our nose, and our neck is supporting the head and protecting the cervical vertebrae of our neck. The muscles of our neck, the skull and cervical spine, is anchored deeply into the upper back and chest. Fitness, traditional fitness classes often ignore the head. And I think it's quite amusing in that our neck is one of the most mobile parts of the body. And so it's like, why in fitness do we ignore moving the head? When it's intended, it's built and designed to move. So embrace that in class and play with orientating yourself with your eyes, looking, appreciating the beauty around you in class, moving your head. Really helps create health and strength and flexibility. So in NIA, the head movements include our eyes. The way we look around the room is a wonderful way to avoid tension. Rather than thinking about just moving our head, if we use the eyes and say, look at the window or look over to the whatever the shelving unit or the plant on the other side of the studio, that kind of connection of looking rather than thinking of mechanically moving the head really supports the spine and the head in a much more integrated way. So your head movement stirs the energy flow around your eyes, your ears, your mouth, and it stimulates our crown, the third eye and throat chakras. It moves more energy around our ears, and this can agitate the fluid in the inner ear. And that helps body balance and orientation. If we're new to NIA or we're not accustomed to moving our head in this way, we can start off feeling quite dizzy, nauseous, or come up from moving our head. So again, it's like this is a real physical change and it's increasing the energy that's moving around our body. So we encourage you to take it step by step, just little steps, and over time your body will be able to tolerate larger amounts of energy moving in your head and neck. So with time we'll be able to turn and spin and move up and down at different speeds without getting dizzy. But like everything else in fitness, we need to build up to that ability. So anytime if you feel dizzy or nauseous, just remember less is more sometimes, make it smaller. Maybe if rather than looking all the way to the side wall, just look a little bit towards the front, but to the right side of the studio instead. And so that'll help. With turns in class, you can also really play with modifying that. So if a full turn is too, that movement, just play with looking to the side and stepping, and the rest of the class can turn around, and you can be still doing the moves without getting too dizzy. But that movement of the head, even if you're not turning, will be really the precursor, the preparation, so that with time, you're going to be able to do those turns. Well, the head movement in relationship with emotions, the head is associated with mental intelligence. But this is only partly true. The intelligence is found throughout our entire body, within every cell. And unfortunately, the act of keeping our head on straight often brings us into rigidity, and it can actually constrict our emotional expression. So rigidly holding the head in place actually weakens the body, and it dulls our senses. So in NIA, see if we can be relaxing the head and encouraging loose movement, so we not only lose the rigidity and the tension in our neck, but it also then enlivens our senses. When we control our experiences and our feelings, head movement can actually be overwhelming in class.
Hello. Has this sound just turned off? Is anybody there?
Hello?
Hello? Have we lost our speaker?
Hello?
Yeah, I think we've lost our speaker.
Hello?
I think we did.
Helen, are you there?
Is this Helen?
No, it's not Helen.
I imagine if we wait a moment, she'll come back on. I imagine she's trying to do that right now.
She might not even be aware. Maybe she's just thinking we're all still listening.
This is Helen.
Oh, there you are.
Anybody there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello,
Helen?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry. Can you hear me again?
We can hear you
yes.
now. We lost you.
Okay, let me unmute for a moment, see if that'll help.
We're all here.
Hello.
We're Helen.
Hello.
Hi. Okay. I'm back. Technical hitch over. So let me just finish. I was talking about the head movement. The eyes can ground our movement, and they help us with connection. So it's vitally important. It's one of those things, allowing the head integral part of moving systemically. Okay. So, thanks for hanging in there as you lost me. What I'd love to do now is see if anybody has a question with regards to...
Helen?
Yeah.
Helen, are you there?
Hey, Helen, this is Patrick. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
So, shall I see if I can mute all and then somebody who wants to ask a question do the star six? Do you think that will help? It seems like there's a lot of noise in the background for me.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and try that.
Let me try that. Perfect. Okay, so everyone on the call is now muted. If someone would like to do star six to ask the question, and there was someone I think that came in first, I didn't hear your name, so if you're there, you can star six, it might work better.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, who's this?
This is Yvonne from Albany, New York.
Oh, hi, Yvonne. How can I help you?
I have a number of alignment issues.
Mm-hmm.
And while you were talking, I was looking in the mirror trying to find that horizontal line in the pelvic area. And
yes.
I'm wondering what I can do to help achieve that horizontal line. The pubic bone is kind of tucked under more so I'm kind of like tucking the butt to make it more horizontal. That's part one of the question. And the second part of my question is the alignment issues extend all through the neck as well. And I have a high-pitched ringing in my ear. And this came on about a month ago and just has not stopped.
Okay.
So anything you can help out with there would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, I hope that the thread of the message of what I was sharing is be gentle and self-nurturing and trust in the process, particularly with anything in the core area. If we go out making too many big adjustments, the body really just will respond back with more contraction and fear. And so we want to be nurturing and inviting the movements to happen in natural time and in small movements. Just first of all, embrace and celebrate the fact that you're showing up to Nir on a regular basis and moving our core in ways that's pleasurable. And if there's ever any pain, then reducing or minimizing the movement so there's no pain and just increasing the pleasure. But that is the, one of the main things to do is to get better alignment, is move. And then from that intelligence, the body will be reorganizing. The second thing I highly recommend is finding ways to be comfortable getting down on the floor. And so the working through the five stages with Nir would be a wonderful way of really helping the brain and the body together to restructure how we're holding the body. So first of all, just coming to Nir, moving systemically and allowing the movements to be perhaps small, but increasing the pleasure of the movement. And then secondly, coming down onto the floor. And with regards, you said that you had pain, was it in your ears?
It's a high-pitched ringing, yeah. And I had a bad choking episode about a month ago, and honestly it came on at that time, and it just never left.
Right.
But I have alignment issues in the neck, and I have a feeling I just aggravated it more.
Yeah. So I think the main just little recommendation would be to be small and use your eyes, so you're allowing your head to be moving more freely. And if you can, even just 5 minutes a day, a daily practice on the floor of the five stages would be something that I would recommend.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So this is Helen Terry back. I'm so glad some of you guys hung in there. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 6.
Yes, Helen. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, this is Lindsay. I have a question for you. It's sort of a little bit connected to the last thing you answered, and it's really about the neck. I have issues with my neck, and I've had some injuries there. I also am a new teacher, white belt, and so I'm still teaching my classes, and I feel like this is an opportunity to really practice what I preach, that we can still move even though we have injuries. But I also feel like I don't think I'm hurting myself, but I'm a little concerned, you know, that I might be slowing down the healing, but I also know that there's ways to maybe facilitate the healing. So I just wonder if you had any ideas of what I could do. It's sort of arthritis. I had a whiplash, and I have this arthritis in my, you know, my neck, and I'm working with a chiropractor 3 times a week, and he's encouraged me to still dance. But I didn't know if you had any thoughts about how I might help myself.
Yeah, well, in Principle 5 of the White Belt, we do talk about, you know, the self-healing of it being a balance between logic and mystery. So I'm glad to hear with what you're already practicing, you know, is that feel free to seek advice of professionals. There's some wonderful help we can get out there. And at the same time, there's a thing of just because something works today doesn't mean it will work the same tomorrow.
Yeah.
And around the other way, just because something works today doesn't mean it will work tomorrow. And so that's, you know, part of that medicine of self-healing is having balance between the information you're receiving but being also open to the mystery of the healing. Now, specifically with the neck, and this is from personal experience too, I used to, as a fitness professional, I used to focus. If my neck was hurting, I would put my focus there.
Hmm.
And I've actually found that, really the neck is the ring of air that's connecting our head and our chest. And so do play with moving the shoulders and sensing the thoracic area of the spine and even moving through hips and being aware that our entire core and our spinal system are so interrelated that allow yourself to be integrating three body weights rather than zoning in and focusing on one area. Quite often, like if I have a tense neck, wagging my tail a little bit will release my neck. So just I invite you to, you know, bring a little bit of gentle playfulness in your spine and your three body weights and see how that might be able to help you. And
then, that's really helpful because I found myself intuitively doing that and I'm like, am I yeah, but that's what I'm doing it now as I'm talking to you, and it's like it feels so totally right, and but it's still like, well, is this okay? Because like you say, what works one day doesn't, and that's when I just thank goodness for, you know, intuition. But I think so still sort of being relatively new at this, I'm like, okay, is this, you know, and I'm encouraging my students to do the same thing. But now that it's me that's struggling with, you know, that has this issue, I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's do one more question. And then
Tracy, ask your question.
Who is this?
No, I wanted Tracy to ask her question. She has a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Maybe she's not on. Okay. Sorry about that.
Hello,
this is Helen. How can I help you?
I'm sorry. I recently broke my spine and recovering from it, so I wanted to know if there's... I'm trying to do the alignment, and I'm not sure if I'm doing it correctly. Would that help with my spinal recovery?
I wish I could give a simple answer to that question, really, without everyone's different without knowing more details of your what happened with your spine and what's the best treatment. That's not something I can really diagnose. But are you asking a specific question, too, just of what I'm talking about with regards to alignment in the spine?
Yes, with alignment of the rib cage, because it's T8, it was thoracic.
Okay. And so you're wanting to know how to get more alignment in your thoracic spine? Is that your question?
Well, the alignment of the pelvis, the coccyx, you were saying. I want to know if that would help with the spine.
All things are connected with the spine. And so in general, we want to, from the base up, find balance. So finding the place where my pelvis is in a neutral position and balance, that it's like having a plant pot and making sure that base container is aligned. That means that then the plant and the flower that grows from the pot can move more freely. And so there's definitely a relationship between the position of your pelvis and how that supports any movement from above, including your thoracic spine. So yes, the two are connected, but then in your very special, unique situation with something going on with your thoracic spine, I would recommend grounding the whole body, getting down on the floor and sensing your three body weights in contact with the floor, cooking all four sides, so playing with sensing being on your back, on the sides of the body and the front. And those movements hopefully will then help you when you come to a vertical position have more of a sense of that natural alignment of the pelvis. But that's what I would recommend.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Remember those little thoracic vertebrae. Each of the vertebrae of the spine are like different shapes. So your lumbar spine at the bottom are like very stable. They're the biggest bones and they're like bicycle handles almost. But your thoracic spine, each of your vertebrae basically reflect that part of your body. The thoracic spine supports the chest, which is really like if you can imagine a T-shirt. The arms move up and out from that thoracic area. And if you look at the actual shape of each thoracic vertebrae, they're shaped just exactly the same as the part of the body they're supporting. So when you're moving and you sense your arms moving up and out from your chest, sense each of your little thoracic vertebrae supporting that movement up and out, and see if that visual might help you. So sometimes I imagine each of my thoracic vertebrae being little micro T-shirts that are supporting movement up and out, and see if that might help.
Okay, it makes sense. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Keep dancing. That'll help your spine.
Thank you.
Well, thanks, everybody, so much for joining me on the call. I hope this has helped you. Teachers, I am doing the call tomorrow evening when I'll be talking a little bit more detail about the science, craft, and the art, and see if we can cover a little bit on the chakras, too. So call in if you can join me on that, and I hope everybody has a lovely evening. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye, guys. Or good morning for some people.